You're listening to the Parkway Podcast.
And so we all find ourselves in these different walks in our life and these different places in our life and these different seasons in our life. And I want you to know that in this, that God has a place for you and that God knows you and that He's going to be able to call you in your place and use you just as you are.
Hi, this episode is from our prayer and worship nights. We gather every Sunday night at 5 p.m. for a deeper and intense style service. Each Sunday night features a new worship team and a speaker from various ministries here at Parkway. The service ends with a time of intentional prayer as we respond to God's word, pray for our community, and pray for one another. If you missed a service, you can catch up on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, YouTube Podcasts, or online at parkwaycc.com/sermons.
There's a thing that Jason and I do sometimes that I jokingly do with him, and I'll call him and I'll say, "Brother Smotherman." And then I realized tonight I was going to do the same thing because his brother's coming up, but then I realized like there's like six godly men with the name Smotherman, and they might all rush up here at the same time. And then I thought, wait a minute, that could actually be pretty cool. We could hear from all of the Smothermans. They're all anointed. Tonight, we're fortunate in having Steve come and speak with us. Steve, you want to come up? And Steve's got a word for us. If you just allow me to pray over you for a second, and then we'll get started. Father, we have gathered here in your name for your kingdom's sake. And I just pray right now that you would anoint Steve and that he'd be able to slip away and that your words would come through him, Lord God, in a powerful way and that our lives would be changed. Speak to us the very thing that you want us to be able to hear tonight, Lord God. You have that very thing that you want to touch our lives with. Just anoint him right now in this moment in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Well, I'm very happy to be here. A little nervous. I was trying to think of in this transition time, I haven't spoke like a message since, I don't know, maybe 3 years. It's been a little while in front of people. So I want you to know, first and foremost, my brother, two things that my brother is. My brother's a better speaker than me, and he is the oldest brother in our family. So there's two things I want you guys to know for sure that I needed to say right away. But no, thank you guys for having me, and thank you, brother, pastor, for trusting me. First, I wanted just to say, let me get my old man glasses on. This is kind of a funny one. So I had my daughter-in-law print these out for me, and my son said, "Oh, make them bigger. Make these pages bigger." And this message that's going to be about 15 minutes turned into about 8 pages. I just want you guys to know. It's not that I have a lot of content on it. I just need to see what I'm going to be saying to you tonight. You know what I mean? So, no, I am truly blessed. My wife, Stacy, and me, we are so blessed to be here and be a part of the body here at Parkway. You've already got the better of us. You've got my sister there in the back with my brother-in-law, you got my brother and my sister-in-law, you got my son, you got all my kids, you've got my Chloe girl with Maddox, and you've got my son-in-laws, you have them all. You have the better of me for sure, by far. You have my mom, you've got the better of the Smothermans. So I just am proud to be a part and be able to come up here. I was telling my wife this. She said, "Hey, why don't you share with me what you're going to speak on?" And I said, "Okay." So this morning I passed it over to her. She goes, "Those are some of the same things that I might be speaking on." And so usually how this goes is, you know, as husbands, that you draw from your wife, which, there's a saying that goes like this, right? That behind every man, there's a better woman, right? Well, listen, let me tell you, I'm going to be stealing some of her things tonight. Like, she's like, "You're already going to be saying some things I wanted to say." So I'm just going to borrow them from her and let her. But I'm really blessed to be able to have my family and be able to labor among you. This scripture came to me when I was first starting to speak. Is this: know those who labor among you. Know those. And I made a short list. And by no means am I leaving anybody out. But Mark, Robin, Bill, Georgia, Keith, John, Bear, Ricky, Pastor John, Pastor St. John. Listen, all you guys have made me feel very, very welcome, and my family very, very welcome. So I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for allowing our family to be able to come here and plant this body with you and help grow this community and grow believers here. And when the Bible says, "Know those who labor among you," when you look at me, I haven't been laboring very much among you, but I want you to know that I'm going to put my hand to the plow. I don't know what it takes to be an Oregonian, but I do know this. I bought a house already, but I don't know if that's quite it yet. I haven't got a chance to kill a deer, but I'm getting ready to. I'm driving a lot slower, so I think that's a start, right? I'm trying to think of all the things that it takes to be an Oregonian, and I'm making that way. I do go back to California and work, and I work in the Bay Area. And when I work in the Bay Area, I just don't know if you guys know this, I work around San Francisco, all around the Bay, and everybody's in a real hurry to get there. And get where, I don't know, but the highways are always full of traffic, and people are always running this race very hard. And but when I come here, I have to learn how to slow down and just take it easy. And I'm going to ask, and my wife always says this all the time, I speak a little fast. My son probably inherited it when we speak. We speak a little bit too fast. So I'm going to try to slow down. I'm going to try to slow down just a little bit. But that's just how that pace of life goes, right? So
maybe you guys should listen quicker.
Yeah. Listen quicker or I slow down, one of the two. Yeah. But I just want to tell you guys, thank you guys for having me. Thank you for listening to me. But trust but verify, right? Whatever I say, trust, listen to what I'm going to speak out of Scripture, but verify it, that the Holy Spirit, it just makes a connection with you tonight. And here's the things that I saw over the last Sunday nights. I'm just talking about Sunday nights here. Jason talked, and again, I've had different people speak, and I don't think I got everybody. I had to go back to California to go work, so sometimes I hit Sunday nights, and sometimes I don't hit Sunday nights. So I try to write down as many as I can remember here. But Jason talked about the Holy Spirit and the rhythm that the Holy Spirit has, and listening to the voice in the right time and the right place. Pastor Chase talked about building a culture, and it starts with you, and it starts with me. Crystal talked about devoted to Him, that we have to make sure that He's number one in our lives. Keith talked about forgiveness, that we have to be ready to forgive one another. As if you know this, my father would always say this all the time. He would say that, listen, if you're around me very much, I'm going to offend you. I heard him say it to many people. He says, it's not when, but I'm going to, just a matter of when I'm going to, right? And then I think Robin spoke about love. And the greatest of these things is love, right? Leanna talked about making a place for sinners. Are we ready to make a place for sinners? Ben came up and just spoke real quick about making room for Him in our busy life and our busy things that we find ourselves doing. Jamie talked about God including us, that each of us have a place in the body, right? Seth talked about laying down your offense. I remember that. I was there for that message, and that's a very powerful thing, is that sometimes we carry that offense in our life. Ayla, I believe last week, talked about the new wine and God's process from the new to the old, that He has a new thing for us, but sometimes we get caught in putting it into the old wineskins, and that we have to make sure that we're accepting the new thing that He has and the new way that He wants us to deliver it. I believe He's requiring all in every season of our life. Not perfection, but surrender. Your pastor's been talking about grace with truth, right? Justice with mercy. And then I believe tonight what the Lord told me and what He prepared on my heart for you guys tonight is this, is that He's preparing us for a work. If you look at all these things that Sunday nights they've been getting, the remnant people that have been coming and saying, God, hey, I want you to deposit in me something more. I want you to give me something more. I think all these can be summed up is that He's preparing us for a work. And that's what I feel like the Lord wanted me to tell you guys tonight. And how does that happen? First, it starts with you as an individual saying, God, cultivate my humble heart. Just make me humble, God. It's not about position or place. I've learned that a long time ago, that God has a place for me in His hand and that no one else can take that place. I learned that in a season of my life, that I was always trying to strive to make that place, but He just had it for me. He has it for you. And there's a place in this body for us to be able to grow, and that's what I want to talk to you guys about tonight. That it comes with dedicated prayer. Anytime I've ever seen a move of God, there's a call to prayer. In your quiet time, on the road, on your bed at night, before service, there's a call to prayer. And you're going to catch it. When it comes, when this move of God comes, it comes with this a focus on your prayer life. I remember when I was walking through a few seasons of my life, I'm sure my mom did this as well as my father. But I can remember my father because he was a pretty loud guy. And I can remember sleeping at night, and he'd be praying down the halls over all the kids. And then I remember when I was running from the Lord, he'd be praying over me at 3 a.m. And I remember waking up at 1 a.m. And I remember waking up at 7 a.m. I was thinking, goodness gracious, I even said this, does this guy ever stop praying? Like, this guy has to stop praying, right? But I think this praying without ceasing, like saying, God, I want you to do work in my family. I want you to do work in this body. I want you to do work in the people, my friends and family around me. And then it also calls with a call to repentance that God wants to be able to have a move, but he's going to put his finger on areas in each and every one of your lives. And we're all in different places. I'm going to talk to you about that a little bit later. But we're all in different places. But he's going to put that finger, whether it's that offense in your life or whether you're doing it for the wrong reasons or you need more love in what you're doing. Every one of us are walking in these different things in our life, and he's going to put his finger on it. And it's just our job not to be perfect, just to surrender and be obedient. He wants us to be obedient to whatever he puts his finger on in our life. And I think that's very critical in a move of God, because this Holy Spirit is sensitive. And he wants the right place where he's going to send his lost to be able to be discipled and grown and be able to bring him here to Parkway. The next thing is that when he does that, we say, God, I repent of this sin. God, I give this sin to you. God, I don't want to do with this thing anymore. And for each one of us, those are different things. We also have to do this. We have to engage in his word and seek him. We also have to seek him for understanding and try to actively listen for his voice. Like this new wine, for this time, for this place, for this purpose, we have to listen to what he's calling us to do in this moment, not any other moment. And then I believe this, is that we have to, it's our responsibility, and I believe it's this, it's our time to focus on this new work that he has for us. And I do believe this, as I've been here, I've seen God start to do a work here. And it's time for us to focus and say, God, if there's any other distractions in my life, these weights that weigh us down sometimes are not sin. Yes, they are sometimes, but they're not always sin. It could be the weight of being busy. It could be the weight of my career. It could be the weight of my whatever that weight you want to put on it. That we have to be able to get to a place where, God, if you speak that to me, that, God, I'm willing to lay that down at your feet. And that, God, I don't want any of these weights to be able to disrupt what you want to do, not only in me, but those that are around me, right? So it's time for us to focus in this season. We have to be about his purpose and about his direction and we have to have this passion for him. I want to say this, is that I was just looking at this, that a seed must die before it can begin. Old man versus new man. I know my father would always sing this. I think it was a Bob Dylan song. I'm not even sure if I'm correct on this. But it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. And that was like an old school song. I think it was Bob Dylan, but I'm not positive, so I just wrote that down. But I remember him saying that, and I remember him speaking that. But no, there's something that we have to die to ourselves. The Bible says, my old self must be crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So I live this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me. I love this, is that no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, he loves you just as you are. You don't have to change a thing to come to him. But the Bible does say that he wants to grow you into the man or God, man and woman of God that he wants you to be, that he doesn't leave you the same way he found you. He wants you to grow in him, right? And that's part of the body here, to be able to grow us. I was reading through scripture in John chapter 14. It was talking about Philip and Simon Peter and Thomas. And each one of these instances are a little bit different. But Simon Peter said, you know, I'm not going to betray you. And even Dave Reaver talked about this morning a little bit, right? He said that he goes, I'm not gonna betray you. And then the Lord was going to tell him, hey, listen, before the rooster crows, Philip, you have been made with me, but you don't know me. So you have been with me, Philip, but you still don't know who I am. That you can be in this church service today, you can come and do the religious acts that you're doing, but you don't know who he is. So we all find ourselves in different places. Thomas, just the Bible talks about, you know, doubting Thomas, who's like, where are you going, God? Can I go with you? Can I be with you? He's like, I just told you, I've been with you. I'm gonna tell you where I'm going. I'm gonna come back and get you. But he's still doubting what God has told him. And so we all find ourselves in these different walks in our life and these different places in our life, these different seasons in our life. And I want you to know that in this, that God has a place for you and that God knows you. And that he's going to be able to call you in your place and use you just as you are. So each of us have to find a place or take our place in our lives where we put to death the things that we need to put to death that God will put his finger on. And then we say, God, use us, and he will use us. And then the second thing I want to talk to you about, that's us individually. The second thing I want to talk to you about is the body of Christ. And in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12, it says, by Christ himself, he's gave apostles, he's gave prophets, evangelists, and pastors, and teachers to equip the people for the works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. And I was thinking this, is that I know he didn't say this in the scripture, but I know he gave these to be able to put us in not a level of hierarchy, but a level of functionality that we need each and every one of us. I know that the different giftings, I find that different giftings have different, not always, so don't quote me on this always, but I find that different giftings have different personalities attached to them a lot of the same time. And then I'll find that when you do that, there's certain things that challenge me. There's certain people that challenge me in my faith. Bear and Ricky challenged me in my faith, and I love it. I love that you challenged me to help me grow into what God has called me to be, because I have this different gifting, and you have a different gifting, and we are the body, and we are together. And John, and Pastor St. John, and my son, we all have these different giftings, teaching, and the gift of prophecy, and the gift of just evangelistic outreach. And I think all these giftings are put together in this body to be able to, when believers come in, we're able to disciple them and walk them through what they should be walking through. And I love that about it. I want you to know that I love it about it. And I wanted to tell you, I was going to go through a couple things here where we'll talk about the apostles and the prophets and the evangelists, but I know this, and the pastors and the teachers, but I do know this. I know that he even takes salesmen like me that sell HVAC over in Northern California, and he can use me in this body here at Parkway Christian Center. And I have a place here, and whatever that place is, I'm content with. And whatever God gives me, I'm going to do. And if that's just putting my hands on the weekends, on Saturdays, if that's just coming here and setting up chairs, that's me able to be to speak to somebody that needs to be able to hear that God loves them and cares about them down at, Jersey Mike's, where we're at today, or the pizza place, that God's going to use me to be able to reach people in this body. That could be a part of you guys. I could be part of this body, be able to grow and equip and lead people to Jesus. And so the fivefold ministry, like I was just telling you, is that it's not so much about position, but about our function in the body. And each of us has a place, and no one can take your place. We have to be obedient when he puts his finger on it, that no forward motion goes untested, and don't be ignorant to the enemy's devices. The enemy wants to be able to disrupt us. He wants to break us apart. He knows that when he gets us alone and isolated, hey, so-and-so thinks this about you, and so-and-so thinks that about you, and I want you to know that's not the truth, that we are the body and we are together, and I'm telling you that together we can move and do great things in this community of Grants Pass. So signs that God is moving. Spiritual growth. What your pastor said this, what would take 10 years will only take a year. When God starts to move in a community, what would take a lifetime can happen in a short moment. That we have a spiritual readiness, that we hunger and thirst for him and what he has for us. There's a focus in prayer and fasting that God's going to allow us to have this appetite for seeking him and knowing him more. We have obedience in action, that we can trust in his voice, that we don't just be hearers of the word, but we be doers of the word. That we surrender our lives, every aspect of our life, every area of our life, that we surrender to him, and that we have faith and expectation in what he has and what he's going to do. Your pastor said there's going to be more lost people won to the Lord this year than any other time. And you have to believe that, and you have to speak that, and you have to stand on that what God has spoken, he's going to do. And I believe that he's going to do that. And so what I want to tell you guys is this, is that the last example I wanted to give, and then I'm going to close it up, is this, is that my wife, she makes these, we call them, for lack of a better word, we call them crack cookies. So we call these things crack cookies because they're really, really good, and we can't get enough of them. So I know that's a play, and I'm sorry about that, but that's what we love to do. So we love to eat these cookies. But when we eat these cookies, these chocolate chip cookies. She puts in all the ingredients in every one of them. She bakes them a certain way. And she'll give recipes to people that we know over the years, over the last 20 years, that they'll say, how do you make these cookies? And she would try to tell them, this is what I put in them. This is what I do. This is how I do it. And then she would give them to these people, and they say they just don't taste the same. And Stace would be like, well, you have to use this Pampered Chef baking stone. That's one of the things you have to do. And then you have to do it this way, and you have to let them cool down just for a second, and you have to do this. And the reason why I said that to you tonight was this, is that the body, to have a move of God, it takes each and every one of us. And no ingredient can go undone. We need each and every one of us in this room, in our body, to be able to go win the lost and have a move of God like I know. So he's requiring, he's going to have a work for us. He has this work that's right at hand for us today. And it's going to take each and every one of you to be able to step to the plate and say, God, use me. Use me. And I know the fact that you're here on a Sunday night here to listen to Steve Smotherman, who you don't really even know, that you say that I know that you're stepping up in that place and you're saying, God, I want to be used. But what I would challenge you tonight with is this, is that the enemy is good. He's good at what he does. And he wants to break the body up from the inside. And I want you to know this, is that I love you. I will walk through it with you. Know that if you offend me, I'm going to forgive you. I love you. And that's what the body's about. I've learned these lessons young in my life. The one lesson I've learned about forgiveness more than anything, and I'll just tell this real quick story, is that I don't know if I've ever told the story in front of you. I know I've told it to my friends and my family. But I was in construction, and my father got us to, I got to do my own business. I got to partner with a guy who had a license, and we started building a subdivision. And we built a subdivision, and I was getting paid by the hour, but there's profit coming at the end. And I had a large number. It was like 50,000 plus. It was a big number that it was owed to me at the end of this. And I remember calling my partner up and saying, hey, I need to come over and collect my money. And he said, no, you're not going to get it. And I said, what? He said, nope, you're not going to get it. We decided that we didn't want to pay you. And I'm like, okay, like I'm driving over to your place right now. We're going to have a face-to-face conversation about this. And I remember my father getting in the car with me. I was really, really mad, young. I wasn't too wise. And I was going to show him what was up. You know what I mean? That's what I was going to go do. And on the whole drive over, it was about an hour drive, I remember my father praying. And I remember him speaking in tongues. And I remember him, I wanted to tell him to be quiet. I'm like, hey, listen, we're going here to take care of business. This is what we're going to go do. And I remember about maybe, about three-quarters of the way through the drive, I started to pull over and just started weeping. And I was like, Lord. And he just broke it in me. And the Lord just allowed me to just let that offense go and give it to him. I never got paid for that job. But just a little while later, that man was shot to death by his wife. And all his money was taken out of his bank account. And she was there. He even told me, she's going to be here with me waiting for you when you get here. And I said, okay, that's no big deal to me. You know what I mean? Because I want to go get it. And I think the Lord was trying to teach me a lesson about offense and holding on to things in my life. And I want you to know this, that the body, in order for us to succeed, is we gotta lock arms together. We got to say, God, we're going to go take this community for you. God, use us in whatever capacity you want to use me. I don't have to have a set of keys. I don't have to have any position. I'm not after any position. I just want to be used by you, and I want to be able to reach this community and reach these lost people. The more I drive around here, I think it's one of the things about being an Oregonian is that I'm having a heart for the people that are at the Walmart and the people that are down the road from me, and that God's starting to grow and speak to me. And I want you to know that I'm here to just want to encourage you that he has a work for us today. He has something that he has for us, and that we have to listen to whatever he puts his finger on in each and every one of us. And every one of us are different. Every one of us has something different that we need to put, that he's got. He's like, God, the Lord's going to put his finger on those things. He might even be speaking to you now, but he's going to put that finger on whatever it is that you have to lay down. And that he doesn't ask for perfection, but he asks for a surrendered heart and saying, God, use me in whatever capacity that you want. And so that's really all I had for you tonight. And I hope that at some point, again, if I always tell my kids this, and they'll attest to this, if this was for you and God was speaking to you, then take it with you. And if it's not, chuck it in the garbage. Like, throw it all the way in the garbage and don't even use it no more. Because that's what I believe. I know this as I get older. The reason why I think humility is better when you're older is because you realize all the blessings in my life. When I was younger, I thought it was God gave me a good mind, and now I'm going to go out and achieve it, and I worked up all these good things, and that I accomplished something. But really, in the end of it, that all the blessings of God are what he's given me in my life, my family, my faith in believing in him and what he's given me, all the good things that he's given me is from him. It has nothing to do with me or what's acquired of me. And so I just wanted to end with that. And then Mark or Jason, Pastor, you can close this. And thank you guys.
Brother, I didn't know what you were going to be speaking about tonight, but man, it's ringing a bell just in my spirit. I was sitting in Starbucks this week reading my Bible, and if you ever want to get looked at funny, go to Starbucks in Grants Pass and read your Bible. People walking around looking at me as I'm reading, but I was reacquainting myself with the story of Moses, the early years. We're getting ready to jump into our next series of the five, and we're going to talk about Exodus and this phrase that the Lord's been giving me, Denise, that has really came out of a burden of living here for 2.5 years. The phrase is, let my people go. And I've been saying it with tears in my eyes as I've been driving through this community. When I see the destruction of sin, when I view the city council and the commissioners' meetings, when I think about the local politics, when we're down there, the National Day of Prayer, and the guy on the bullhorn across the street at the Methodist Church is going crazier than the people at the prayer. I mean, my heart just weeps, and I find myself under my breath a lot in this community saying, Lord, I believe you've called us to be a people that can declare, let my people go. And that there's going to be a great season of deliverance coming to Parkway. That is not just for us, it's for the people around us. Elijah, he handed the mantle off to Elijah. And in the Old Testament, it was a mantle of authority that was given. In the New Testament, we don't pass down mantles, we pass down towels. If you want to see the fire of God, you have to first pick up the towel of humility. And what our community needs to see is a bunch of servants that don't really care about their positions or their titles, but are positioned to be people that can help deliver this community from the bondage that it's in. But I was thinking a lot about Moses and reacquainting myself with that. And I know you guys know this, but there's that weird scripture in Exodus chapter 4, verses 24, where the Bible says that at the lodging place, the Lord sought to kill Moses. You guys ever read that scripture? It's right after John, the burning bush, and it's right before he actually got to fulfill the purpose that God had in his life. He had to go to the lodging place. And a lot of people say they want the fire of God. They want signs, wonders, miracles. They want to see them. Pastor St. John, the fire of God is the open door to a death that happens on the inside of us. So one of the reasons why we don't really see a move of God in communities or in churches, again, I'm not talking about big churches, Jim. I'm not talking about big churches. Big churches, Keith, they're in every community all over the nation. The Bible says in the last days there's going to be a great falling away. The falling away, Audrey, doesn't happen because people leave church. The great falling away happens because Christians actually just switch churches or stay in churches and their hearts grow cold and they check the religious box, but they're really not living for God. That's the great falling away that's happened in America today. The great falling away is that most Christians only go to church 1.5 times a month and they get offended 12 times a month. That's the great falling away. The great falling away, Ben, is that we're probably considered the radicals of our church, correct? We're here on a sunny night, the sun's shining. We've been here all weekend, Mark, men's barbecue, Dave Reaver this morning. Would you consider us the radicals of Parkway? We're the radicals of Parkway. And if we're the radicals of Parkway, I'm going to be really honest, we're in trouble. If God's elect has frozen hearts and not living a passionate life, we're never going to be able to declare to this community, let my people go. And brother, when you started talking about God is preparing us, I really feel like there's an invitation that the Lord has given us that we've got to reside at the lodging place. Like, I'm here. I'm in Grants Pass. I loaded up the U-Haul. I brought my sons. But just because I'm around the lodging place doesn't mean I'm in the lodging place. And there's a lot of people that hover around the lodging place. They hover around looking as though God's working on the inside of them, but God's really not allowed to work on the inside of them. And I don't know if you guys know the reason why God was mad at Moses. It's actually pretty graphic. Did you guys know the reason why he was mad? Yeah, because circumcision, he didn't circumcise his son. And isn't it a picture of the American church, and I'm going to pick on the fellows here in a minute, that what the man did should have done, the wife had to do. That's why in the American church, actually the women of God are actually more on fire than most men of God. Don't you find that very interesting? They'll tell you in church startups or, you know, church growth stuff right now, your volunteer base is most likely going to be 75% female, 25% male. If we have a volunteer meeting, it's super interesting how many females show up and how many men stay away. It's crazy. Isn't it amazing the world and the culture we live in? So the story goes that I think his wife's name was Zipporah. Is that right? She realizes that God's hunting him. According to old Jewish traditions, they tell the story that there was a big snake that was after Moses going to kill him. And so I just want to be very clear. It wasn't metaphorically speaking that God wanted to kill Moses or to build him to a better character. No, he was trying to kill him. It wasn't like figurative. It was literal. Like Moses, the guy who met me in the fire at the burning bush, I am now going to murder him. And so the story goes that she goes, cuts the foreskin off of the son and places the foreskin on the feet of Moses. And there was something in the act of the obedience of the wife that allowed Moses to live. And what we're seeing, I'm just telling you, what we're seeing is the women of God in our culture have been the saving of the church. Don't oftentimes like to talk about the different roles between males and females, but I'll tell you right now, if it wasn't for the women of God in the culture of America, the church would have fallen a long time ago. But there has to come, again, and we'll get to the New Testament application of this in a moment, but there has to come, I believe, for our church to be prepared for the work. The women of God, I believe, largely are doing their part. But there's got to be an onus on the men of God to actually step up and join the women of God on the front lines of what God's doing. And we have to get to the place where we're going to take the moment that God has for us in that lodging place. Steve, it's what you said tonight. The Lord is preparing us. He's preparing me. I've spent 2.5 years here trying to learn, trying to grow, trying to lead the church, doing the best I know how. I felt like I've seen the fire of God in my life that said, go to Grants Pass. And before we can actually see the deliverance, Pastor Seth, we've got to get to the place to where we take residence here in the lodging place. And I don't care if you have the fire of God, if you're not willing to be obedient to his commands, the fire of God will only take you so far. If the fire of God does not produce obedience, the Lord will turn on this thing and we'll never see what God's called us to see. And so I don't know where that lands for you. I don't know. I know for me it's, if I can be at a very vulnerable place the last 5 or 6 months, I believe the Lord said to do the building remodel. That it wasn't going to be just something naturally happening, but it was going to be something prophetically God was going to do in our campus. Do you know, I don't want to offend anybody here tonight, but I'm sort of just at the, I'm at the lodging place personally. Do you know that crosses can become an idol? The crosses in the front of our stage have become an idol to this church. Do you know this display over here? this can become idolatry. Church tradition can become idolatry. Ayla, what you spoke, I wasn't here last week, sweetheart, but what you spoke about God preparing, not just giving us a new wine, but putting it in new wineskins, that was a word of the Lord for this church. And I walk over to the sanctuary, and I want you to hear me. I when I go back to the corner of J&R Boga, which means nothing to you, but it's where God saved my family, there are such fond memories there. But if I go back there expecting to see what I saw 40 years ago, God forgive that church. God forgive that church. And what God has to do is God's got to have this heart shift, John, where like all of us in this room, it's not that we cut ties of the memories of what God did yesterday, but oftentimes we have to cut ties of how God did it yesterday. And I really do believe, so like I do believe the Lord has us walking in this prophetic momentum, but it's going to lead us to the lodging place where things are going to get a little more rockier before they get better. And we have to be here for it. We got to be here for it. We got to wake up praying. We got to go to bed praying. I asked a dear lady of ours in the church, she said, Pastor, are you taking down those crosses? You got to put the crosses back. And I go, all six of them? It's a good question, right? Because, you know, those crosses are biblical for sure, but all six of them? You tracking with the question? If we're not careful, we'll make the history of Parkway or the history of our ministries, or even, it's why Paul wrote, forgetting those things which are behind me. We're not just talking about bad things. We're also talking about good things that are behind us. And those are oftentimes the greatest enemies, Jacob, that you'll find in ministry. Because, son, you've got a call of God on your life. What you're going to find is you're going to find the greatest things that we struggle with in ministry are the things that God did in the past. The time that I gave to the building fund 20 years ago. The time that I sacrificially give 7 years ago and no one saw it. If I'm not careful, I'll look back on those things. And I really do feel, brother, that you brought a word of the Lord for all of us to take home tonight, which is, Lord, whatever it's going to take for us to be prepared, I don't want to leave a lodging place until I'm prepared. Because, again, we want to see the fire. You guys remember when the Holy Spirit hit you for the first time? I was an 11-year-old boy in children's church. Shy beyond belief. My mom will tell you, I would go to the public swimming pool in the summer to learn how to swim as a 10 or 11-year-old. 10 or 11, you didn't know how to swim. I was 12 or 13, didn't even know how to ride my bike. It was Cherise Smith and my sister who taught me how to ride a bike when I was like 12 or 13, and I ended up crashing into a ditch and almost dying. I was a shy little boy growing up. They kicked me out of the swimming pool, Mark, because I wouldn't take off my T-shirt. I didn't want all the lifeguard girls to stumble. There's a pool of like 40 people. And I'm telling you, when the Holy Spirit hit me for the first time and I began to speak with other tongues, sitting in the back row, no one was laying their hands on me. I had my hands stretched up. Really one of the first times I ever raised my hands in church. And the Holy Spirit, man, took me to another world. But I didn't realize that the fire of God is not entry into signs, wonders, and miracles and making me look good. The fire of God is actually an invitation to die to yourself. Those people in the upper room are not there in the apex of popularity. Jesus had just died. He had given the invitation to the upper room to thousands, and only 120 showed up. And those 120 were there not because they necessarily wanted to be there, but because they wanted what had happened to continue, and they said, sign me up for servanthood. And so if we're going to see this thing, man, the Lord's going to have to change our heart from seeking positions and titles and styles to switching our heart to saying, like my brother said tonight, and I echo it, I always say, I just want to be in the room. I just want to be in the room when he shows up. And we want the signs, wonders, and miracles, but do we want the love and forgiveness it's going to take? Do we want the maturity? Do we want the idol worship to go down? I've been running around this idea in my head the last 2 or 3 weeks every time I go in the sanctuary, Keith. Like, what if we didn't buy a stage? What if we just met in the sanctuary with no stage? You know what I'm saying? Like, what we've made church in culture today is everyone comes, sits in a chair, and looks on the stage. And those that should be the servants go stand on the stage. I don't know what the right decision is. I want you to know where my process is at right now as your pastor. Like, the Lord's like preparing me for the upcoming and the coming move that God wants to bring. And I just want to be in the room. I can't wait for the day, Brooke, when we turn on a prayer worship CD, and they're not even CDs anymore, MP3, whatever it is, Apple Music or Spotify. And you can't even touch the keyboard because the presence of God is so thick in our sanctuary. But it's not going to happen if Steve, right, you're right, our motive's not right. We're still battling offenses. We've got to run from the lodging place, not chasing the fire, but chasing obedience. Would I still be here if I didn't get a paycheck? I'd like to think I would. Would I still be here if the Lord didn't give me a title? I like to think I would. That's the lodging place. If I never grab a microphone, if I never get recognized, the lodging place. Steve, would you pray for us? You brought this on us. It's your fault.
Just a scripture that popped into my mind as you were talking is that they will know you by how you treat one another. Let's talk about the body, right? Let's talk about us. Lord God, I give you access, Lord, to any part of my life. Lord God, if there's something in me, Lord, that's not right, God, put your finger on it. Lord, I want to give it to you. God, I just thank you, Lord, for speaking to us tonight, Lord. God, just be able to go with your people tonight, God, and when we lay our heads down on our pillows tonight, Lord, that, God, we give you access to us, Lord. God, we want to be used by you. We want to be a body that's used by you, Lord God. God, I thank you, Lord, for your body that's here tonight, that's wanting to know you more, God, wanting to reach the lost in this community, Lord. God, I thank you for your faithfulness and your faithful people that are here tonight, Lord. God, I pray that you go with them, God. You encourage them, Lord, yet that you give them direction, you give them peace, God. You give them correction if they need it, Lord. God, that, God, whatever they need, God, that you're there for them and that you have their best interest in mind, Lord. God, we give this night to you. God, in your name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys.